You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We got to get going, Christy Simone. I'm back to a lot of people's chagrins. As
welcome home, D. Simone. Back from the Wake Up Tucson compound and back in the desert again with his desert survival outfit on this morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's my Monday and my Friday. Thanks to Matt, Bruce, Shelley, and Sean for filling in for me the last 4 days. Love it. Thank you guys for doing it.
Good stuff.
It was a great recharge, and literally I read a book on a porch and looked at squirrels run up trees. That's basically what I – and maybe drank some beer. Overall, a great few days. Thanks for everyone for making that happen. I just want to share a fun little – before we get to Mark Van Buren, I say this – one little story. We are going to I just came back from Pine Top. I have a few places that I like to eat. This is going to be part of our Food Friday. Want to know, give us a call, 790-2040. Share with the audience a couple of places that you might like to eat up in that White Mountains area, because I love being up there, but you know, as you me, I'm the foodie guy. I want to know, and so is Mark. We want to know the good locally owned places to have a bite to eat. So we'll do that in the next minute or so. So call us 790-2040 or email us at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. My last little story here I just want to tell is, so I was posting up stuff about hydroxychloroquine, and there was an article in the New York Post about how the people in England at this Lancet medical journal who originally came out against hydroxy retracted their study after they came under criticism from other medical sources out there, right? Mm-hmm. And so the lady said, oh, you're going to use the New York Post as your source, right? That kind of thing. I got that, right? And so I said, what can you suggest? All I said is, what can you suggest as better sources? And for some reason, she erased her entire post and never showed up again.
Imagine
that. That is the nature of your social media world right now. Mark Van Buren, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you, Christopher?
Not
nice and relaxed?
Right? Absolutely.
Right? It's always very relaxing up there. Although, you know, I heard your intro talking about restaurants. It is somewhat limited up there, especially when we're coming from Tucson, and I think sometimes we take for granted just how great a city this is, you know, restaurant-wise, because it really is. There's a lot of things. Where up there, it's a lot more...
I'm a Flagstaff guy, as you know,
sure,
right? I went to school there and everything. But what I like about it better than Flagstaff, right?
Yeah.
It's a little more indirect to get there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be quieter.
Sure.
Won't be as totally assaulted by Phoenicians or Tucsonans.
That's for sure.
You know, because once you take that trip through the Salt River Canyon, half the people are like, oh, I hate this.
I love that. I really
it's
do.
A pain.
I love doing that. We always actually stop there and grab, you know, have a sandwich or something.
Really?
Yeah, pick
where?
Yeah.
Oh, right at the
right
bottom.
At the bottom of the Salt River.
Right next to the toilets they have
right
there.
Well, no, not right next to that. But
the vending machine.
Thank you. No, we make a picnic lunch and have it there. So,
it's very nice.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that I have a friend of mine who goes, if they would just put a bridge that goes straight across the, you know, a giant expand, like instead of the switchbacks.
I think it's the coolest. I mean, my wife doesn't care for it too much.
Thank
and would
you.
Never drive it. But I absolutely love it. I think it's great. I really do.
So, and the other thing that's, you're going to let, this
go.
Is going to be, I'm going to get so, one of the things that also makes Pine Top as a long-term play of a place to go to.
Sure.
It may be live one day, no university.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing in my mind right now.
They do have a community college. There is a community college.
That's perfect.
There you go.
I love a community college.
There you go.
Now, so Eats up there. As you said, they're limited, but they do.
They are limited.
So what do you got?
My go-to is Darby's. I love the place. I go there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have like specials. They have fish fries on Friday nights. Their breakfast is outstanding, and they got a couple of killer sandwiches. They've got this one pork sandwich with, I think, poblano peppers on it. It is fantastic. But Charlie Clark's Steakhouse is also, you know, it's a little old-fashioned, but it's pretty pretty solid. I had some good dinners there. Do not go to that cattleman's place in Sholo. I went there one time.
We've all been there, yes.
Oh, my God. It's like they discovered the salad bar. It's just like, you've got to be kidding me. So, and I know I probably aggravated somebody with that, but it really is pretty mediocre.
I have not been there. So
don't go there.
I cannot pig pile on that.
There is the Red Devil Italian restaurant is a pretty good one, too. And, you know, that's recently opened.
So I've done the Red Devil for pizza.
I had some kind of an Italian dish, a pasta dish, and it was very good.
I think the pizza there was, it's a thin crust kind of Neapolitan, and I think it's good.
Yep, it is. It is. Another good breakfast place, the Picnic Basket. Is across the street from Darby's.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've not been there because I usually go to Darby's.
Very good breakfast. Very good breakfast. And sometimes when you can't get in Darby's because the wait's too long, you go in there.
Gotcha.
Pasta House is another one I have gone to a couple of times. Not bad. You know,
I thought it's a little pricey for what they're giving you.
Probably what it is. Yeah. You know,
I don't think, going to get my, my marinara and Pine Top.
Pine Top Brewing, I think, is a pretty neat place to go to. Some pretty good selection of beers and some things to munch on.
So I'm going to tell you something. Pine Top Brewery, especially because it does have the doggy friendly patio, is also a good option.
Yeah.
But they they're using good ingredients, right? Yep. Like my wife and daughter got the their BLT there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing this candied bacon that they do there,
nice.
Right? Thick cut. And there's a place called Baked, a bakery thing, or I forgot the name of the bakery, but they're using a local baker. The bread was just that big, thick, beautiful, like country white
nice.
Bread. Can I say country?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Can
Tucson.
You?
What's Tucson got for me? Hold on.
Oh,
let's just call it a country bread. Okay. And so Pine Top Brewery, they're doing Belgian beers there.
Right.
That's my picture.
It's really, really
that's
good.
My picture on Facebook right now is the two Belgian beers that me and the missus got there a couple of nights ago. You know,
I saw, you know, where I went, the last time I went there was to see U of A lose to Hawaii.
Nice.
So that's
I think that, yes, Ed.
Oh, I was going to throw in a plug for my good friend Jay Zucker, who sold the Toros and moved to Pine Top and opened the wine place. But of course, you can't have a wine place with COVID. Because of the
is it just wine?
No, that's untrue.
Do they serve food
now? Wine and cheese.
So okay. When I was first there, I was there over a weekend, and I totally spaced to go there, right?
Yeah.
And then, so what happened was because the way my vacation worked, it was Sunday through Thursday. Jay's open Thursday through.
Oh,
but is he open? Okay. Are they allowed him?
Sure, looks like he's open because he does food.
Yeah, but it's like wine and cheeses. So I hope so.
No, he does like some flatbreads and things like that. So
that's close enough.
Yeah,
good. I will check him out. So
it's
he's
called
in
Wine
Pine Top?
Mountains.
He's right across the street from Charlie Clark's.
Oh, okay, beautiful. Oh, I know exactly where that is.
It's called Wine Mountain.
Okay, all right.
The place I want to check out is right behind it. I just noticed a little sandwich board leaving town yesterday. It's called the Abuela's, and she's doing little place behind Wine Mountain that's doing homemade tortillas and burritos.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a winner. Eddie's Country Store right there.
Oh. Yeah.
So they do the Applewood smoked meats.
That, don't you? Did you get me an Eddie's t-shirt?
What?
Did you get me an Eddie's t-shirt?
Oh, my God. I totally screwed
he's
over.
He's a little pricey in there.
Oh, is
of course he is.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Right. But they do that Applewood, the bacon back there is pretty good.
Yeah.
So the other place that we went to is just up the road, just to the west of where Red Devil and Eddie's is and Charlie Clark's.
Yeah.
On the north side, there's this place. It's a building that he's like doing he parks his food truck there.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then he has this beautiful house building that he's doing. It's called Munich House, and he's doing German stuff.
Oh, wow. That'll be cool.
All right. So we went there. He has a beer garden that's open in the back.
Right.
So he has this cute little house with this lady pouring six German drafts.
Great.
Right? And he's doing, so there's a place in Phoenix named Shriners that makes sausage for him.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't know if it feels like a sausage shop north kind of place.
Okay.
Kent's, yours is better. Don't cry at me. And but this guy's doing these killer brats. He's doing apple strudel.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
He's doing this homemade apple sauerkraut kind of apple cabbage
and
sauerkraut
And you know what?
Thing.
It's a unique experience for there.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great, because if you get some restaurants that do some ethnic things like that, they don't have any competition.
You'll be totally thrilled getting this guy's brat.
Oh, I'll check it out.
And then sitting in the back and getting a beer. Okay. It's like literally sitting in his backyard.
There is another place. It's just a small little bakery that we discovered, and it's halfway between Sholo and Pine Top or Lakeside, and it's on the right-hand side, and it's just it's unassuming. It's a very little building.
I know what you're talking about.
But you can go in there, and we've gotten some fresh pastries in there. Fantastic. And a cup of coffee. Can't beat it.
I think they feel like they're making it up there because it's getting a little too busy. They actually built a Culver's now.
Oh.
And it's closer to the Sholo side.
Oh. It's creeping in. It comes everywhere.
So anyway, that's a few places in Pine Top that if you're up there.
But Sholo, isn't it? It's kind of weird because there's really not a lot there. There's a creamery place for an ice cream there. But other than that, there's really, like I said, I went to that one Sholo's. Wow.
Well, we were thinking about there's a place when you come into town on Ride called Birdie's. It's like a diner. They make homemade donuts. And
I saw that.
It looked fascinating. And then my daughter's going through it looks like they sold a year ago, and it went right down the toilet. So we didn't go. It's right near the Trump store. When you come in,
I know where the Trump store is.
The coffee, the Trump store. And so, you know, you get those inflatable Christmas things that look like Santa Claus or a snowman?
I hate those.
Blow up things, they have an inflatable have Trump.
All right.
When you're walking in, he's like,
hey,
I'm full of hot air. I'm hot, full of air. 7:18 in the morning. So, what's our movies today?
We are doing 1950s. And what's
now
really?
his notes? I'm going to take a picture of these on Facebook.
You should.
It looks like John Nash in A Beautiful Mind. It's just all of these small little...
I just keep rolling. But what's really cool about the 1950s, it's significant for a couple of reasons. It's really the birth of sci-fi the way that we know it.
Sure.
Okay. And then also the biblical epic movies, you know, are pretty much starting there. And these are two categories that I absolutely love. So 1950s.
Your handwriting is interesting. Now, is this? I have a feeling.
Yes.
So, as part of your world in the hotel world,
yes,
right, and you had to do the accounting side of being a business guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in long enough that you actually probably had to fill out ledgers, kind of that.
I did, and I actually worked a little bit of night audit, and I worked on the cashier side of things in a big Hilton hotel while I was going to
your
school.
Your handwriting,
yeah,
looks like that.
Well, you had to be legible. Okay, and my handwriting, my script of writing is not very good. So basically, I printed.
You have to see the names and the numbers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And all of his letters are exactly the same size, and they would fit in a box.
Right?
Okay. So it reminds me, I know we're running late. So my coach, Tom Breslin, that I had for Little League, he was a CPA.
Yeah.
And he hand wrote out it was perfect. Right, every letter, number, blah, blah, blah. And I asked him, I go, well, what's going on here? He goes, I'm a CPA. I'm filling in boxes all the time.
All the time.
And that's what I see from yours.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Christy Simone at Alexander. We're going to do the movies of the 1950s.
Right, right.
Nice.
Is Elvis.
Am I going to be able to do my...
Elvis is in there, but he's not on my list.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
<All right.
laughs>
Am I going to do Edward G. Robinson before it's all over? Yes! look at you. 7:24 in the morning. Ed's playing the hot songs. I did cool.
Okay.
Soothing
hot
songs.
And cool. Here we go.
We're hanging out with Mark Van Buren again, and we love every couple of weeks he comes in and does top 10 something movies.
Right.
So we started a few weeks ago doing decades.
Right.
And I have enjoyed this. So let's, if you have a favorite movie that was made in the 50s, I'm sure Bunker's got a couple of cowboy movies.
And I got Bunker on my list.
790. So, yeah. You got to do a separate list now.
I know. I'm working on that.
What's number 10?
My first one is, and this is a longtime favorite of mine, The Day the Earth Stood Still with Michael Rennie. And the most famous science fiction quote is... Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Wow.
And this movie had won several awards from peace organizations throughout the world. They just thought the premise of it was fantastic. And what it is Michael Rennie is an alien, and he comes down to Earth in a robot in a spaceship, lands, and tells all the world leaders, I want to meet with you because we have a message for you, from all the various alien planets. And the message was, clean up your act or we'll clean it up for you. In other words, stop all the wars, stop all the nuclear weapons and all this stuff, and basically stop that or we'll eliminate you.
Right, and this nuclear thing.
Yes.
And that Cold War feeling, you know, kind of stories. This is, you know, part of that.
And it was very well done. And you know what? I watched part of it the other day, and it still kind of holds up. It obviously doesn't have the special effects of today, but the story is so well written. It's really well done, and it's quite a good movie.
I never watched the remake with Keanu.
Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible.
Hey,
absolutely terrible.
Hey, dudes. Well, clean up your act, man.
This was 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. The remake with Keanu Reeves was like 32.
Okay.
So to give you an idea.
Look
what they have at their disposal, all these special effect type things.
Well, it was also the idea that so there were so many movies that were made purely because they had special something what they called special effects in those days.
Right.
And that was kind of the movie. And those movies ended up on Mystery Science Theater later.
Sure.
To get made fun of.
Yeah.
So it was the idea that you had a kind of a deeper story with a deeper meaning with a sci-fi.
Yep.
Which is very Rod Serling-esque if you think about it, right?
Oh, no question about it. I absolutely loved it.
Yep. Yep. So the day the Earth stood still.
And another thing about the 1950s, and we were talking about it off here, but it really was the birth of sci-fi the way that we know it today, you know, with pictures like this and some other ones that I'll talk about, but also biblical epic movies that were just fantastic. And, you know, we've certainly seen a lot of those.
Let's sneak one in before we get to the bottom of the hour.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Love this movie, 1954, a Jules Verne classic. I think it's one of the first books I ever read as a kid. And Jules Verne was very captivating. 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. And, you know, it's the story of, you know, the famous Captain Nemo, and he's eliminating the whaling ships, and Kirk Douglas and...
Or any ship of that's doing any sort of warlike thing also.
Right, and so he's eliminating them, and they go to investigate, and they end up being on his ship and discover what he's doing and why he's doing it, and it's magical. It's very, very well done.
What's amazing about this film for 1954, of course, is the effects and how they filmed it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when you see these guys with these big, heavy helmets, and they're doing all these underwater scenes.
Bubbles, yeah.
That's real crap.
Yep.
Those are real guys in those outfits underwater with these big heavy boots and all this jazz.
Yeah.
1954 doing all... There's a lot of screen time underwater.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I just love the special effects. Remember when they electrified the outside of the submarine and those guys that were attacking them got on
the headhunters.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And then even the squid to this day looks pretty good in 1954.
It was good. Absolutely. James Mason was fantastic as Nemo as well.
And of course, Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre. I don't
know.
Peter Lorre.
Rick,
there's another
there's
guy.
A squid, Rick.
He was kind of like typecast, but that's who he played. He played Peter Lorre.
What do you think about Kirk Douglas? Was he well? I thought that was a mild miscast in this.
Probably a little. Probably a little bit. I think
he sings in the beginning, it's
he's
a little
got a lot of camera time in this. That's probably. Erroneous, doesn't really need to be there.
Right.
But it's still such a good story, though.
No, I love the movie. Yep. My dad loved this movie.
Yep.
So what my favorite ride at Disneyland to this day is, they got rid of it, but 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
They
did,
of course.
Oh,
I like that.
1950s movies with Mark Van Buren, Christy, Simone, and Alexander. It's a Friday. Oh, this has been a long week for me.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez. Is this damn week over or what? I like it. That's when Eddie Murphy was funny.
Right.
7:35 in the morning, Christy Simone, Ed Alexander, Mark Van Buren, and you were doing the top movies of 1950. Mr. Buckmaster's chiming in with, of course, The African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn.
Very good flick. Didn't make my list.
No. It was a good flick. And, you know, it was an interesting combo to put those two together.
Oh, absolutely.
In a flick. So my dad loved African Queen. Loved that movie. So what's your next one, sir?
Dial M for Murder, another Hitchcock. You know, when you're going into the 50s, there's a lot of Hitchcock. But this one was unique for him because he had done a couple of others and was taken a lot out of them. And this one was done more like a stage. you know, so it was just basically a couple of scenes. It won 4 Oscars for actor, editing, song, and score. It starred Ray Milland and Grace Kelly in it, and it's basically a story of this jealous tennis star thinks that his wife is committing adultery on him, and convinces this old army buddy, kind of blackmails him into murdering her.
Yikes.
And it's a very interesting outcome.
Wow. What's the name of this again?
Dial M for Murder.
Absolutely.
89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I have not seen that one in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And Ray Milland,
yeah,
definitely. He was like, you know, he was an interesting looking physical character in a way. Very tall.
Yep.
Right? No one else looked like Ray Milland.
No, that's
you know,
for sure.
Him.
Yeah.
I always think of... it goes back to Seinfeld, right? Everything, right? And remember, Kramer wanted to wear the Henry VIII outfit?
Yes.
On the Christmas episode, and
yeah.
The guy says, it wouldn't fill your Ray Milland-esque stature. Do you know anyone who's portly who can wear it? And, of course, Costanza.
You know, portly is one of those terms you don't use too much. It's not a very flattering term. You know.
All right, what's your next one?
Next one, and this one goes out to Bunker, High Noon, done in 1952. It stars Gary Cooper. He was fantastic in this. It's 96%. It's a classic Western. The basic premise of this story is that he is going to retire as the sheriff, and he's going to go off and marry his
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. Excuse me. I was looking for her name and I couldn't find it. He's going to marry Grace Kelly. And then he finds out that a guy he put away 4 years ago is getting out, and he's coming with 3 other guys to kill him at noon on the next day. And so basically he's torn on whether to stay or not. He goes to the townspeople and asks for their help. They all turn their back on him. And he's basically in a situation where he is forced to fight these 4 guys on his own.
Hold on. So the people, certain people, locals turn their back on the law
All
enforcement?
All the locals did.
Wow.
You know, and here's the guy. He's the defending, he's the sheriff defending their town and has helped them out through the many years, and they turn their back on him.
I don't have a rim shot sound. He's got the rim shot sound. I was going to say, all the locals turn their backs on police officers. What is this over by? Is this downtown by the mayor's office?
Well, it could be in Portland or Seattle.
Or at least Lane Santa Cruz's office.
It kind of shows you that things do repeat, don't they?
They do. They do. Yeah. Let's go to the phone. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's get to Al.
Al's working on pools, and he says it's too hot. He's got to get it done, but he couldn't stay on. He's standing in the sun.
What's his suggestion?
Fort Forbidden Planet.
Is this on your list? Forbidden
no,
Planet.
Is that
not.
50s or it might be 60s? But that's the one with the robot.
No, you know what?
Yeah,
I think it
Robbie
is.
The robot.
I think it is
Robbie the robot. Thing,
I think
the
it
big
is
blue thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Just you were on
56. 1956.
Okay.
So this is, I think this is based roughly on The Tempest by by Shakespeare, believe it or not, where you have this. So anyway, they go down to the planet. We have Robbie the robot.
I had one of those. Of course, we all did, didn't we?
Walter Pigeon is the guy who's this kind of scientist guy down there. He's got the He's got the hot daughter that we don't know what her real story is. You have this space expedition led by Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, there you go. Boy, he was around for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. And what's great about Leslie Nielsen is he can never stop being Leslie Nielsen.
Literally. No.
He's right. It's just his.
Don't call me Shirley.
Right. It's his airplane Frank Drebin.
Oh, and I love the costumes. Right, the costumes that they're the space costumes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it was a big thing here too. We were talking about the technology of the time.
Yeah.
The sound. Give me the Forbidden Planet opening theme. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. It's this weird. It was like the early synthesized music.
Ooh.
Right. Right. And you're just sitting there going. It's okay. You're doing good. All right. So, yeah, the main title. That's it. All you got to do is listen. This is it. This is in the 1956. This is it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tell me that doesn't work.
Yeah. whatever kind of electronic sound they could make.
Absolutely.
I think it's fantastic.
Ed used to trip out on
and
this.
And that robot looks very similar to the robot in Lost in Space.
It does.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you figure he's definitely the prototype, and they just changed him up to be a robot. But yeah,
danger.
I do have a soft spot for Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, that's good.
I do like it.
So. Well. All right.
There's even that scene where they have the little moon buggy and they speed up the film to make it look like really, really fast.
Yep.
So when you're watching that 1956, you're like, golly.
Sergeant Carter.
That's pretty. That could happen, man. That's cool.
And look what we're doing now. We're so advanced. We keep tearing down buildings and blow up. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. Sorry. What's your next
movie? One? The King and I. Coming in at number six, 1956. Absolutely love Yul Brynner in this. I mean, I think this is Yul Brynner at his best. And it's basically a story of a nanny who comes in is going to tutor his children and all his wives. And you know the little conversations between the two of them, Yul Brynner and her, trying to understand why he would be married to all these women and that type of thing. It's very interesting movie and very entertaining. I was in San Francisco a couple of years ago with my wife, and we saw the play there, and it was fantastic.
Yul Brynner makes things better.
He just does. And what a presence this guy had every time he was on the screen. He just captured it.
I was just looking up. He's actually Russian.
Yeah.
Yuli Borisovich Brynner is his real name. But when you look at his movies, right, that he's in, right, so we're going to get to another one that he's in on your list, right? But like Brothers Karamazov, he's great. Westworld, he's great. Magnificent Seven, of course. He makes Magnificent Seven.
Oh, absolutely. Without him, it would be a non-factor.
It'd be an okay six.
Yeah.
As we like to say. Yeah. So anyway, The King and I, this was huge in those days.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like everyone in America loved that play. The movie comes out. Kind of like when...
Oh, the costumes in it are fantastic even. I mean, it's a great, great movie.
To be repeated by a movie from 2 weeks ago, which was My Fair Lady, right? That musical that kind of took over the country. And
yep.
So good choice.
Yep.
What's your next one, sir?
Next one is I got animated on you, Lady and the Tramp, 1955. This is my favorite animated Disney film, and I know it's not everybody's. There's Snow White and Pinocchio and all that stuff, but this is 93%. I think the story is well written and it makes a lot of sense, and they put romance into the thing. Everybody remembers the scene where Lady, who is this. Who is a very good background dog, you know, good breeding, hooks up with Tramp, who is a mutt, right? And basically they go to an Italian dinner and they end up kissing because they both grab the same strand of spaghetti and whittle it down and kiss each
other. Whenever it's Ed's anniversary, I always have him play Bella Notte for me because that's him and Jules.
Yeah.
She's the one of great breeding, and he's a tramp.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you very much.
How do you like that, Ed?
That's true. I got lucky. Yeah. Married up. Yep.
You know, my thing about Lady and the Tramp, which would be my thing on why, it's charming as hell.
Yeah, it is.
It's whatever the plot is.
Yeah.
It's forgettable.
I don't think so because, you know, think about it. You know, a lot of people have that mother-in-law they wish they didn't have, you know, and the mother-in-law comes and takes because the couple who owns Lady has a baby.
Right.
And the mother-in-law comes to help out. Well, she doesn't want to have anything to do with the dog and pretty much relegates her to the backyard type of thing. And so I think people can relate to that. So I think I remember it very specifically, and I've probably only seen it a couple times. But anyway.
All right. No, like I said, it's a nice movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie. It is a good movie.
All right, let's take a phone call before we go to break. Before we run out, we have two contributions I want to get to on our Pine Top discussion, restaurant discussion, too.
Sure.
Before it's all over. But let's go to 790-2040. Let's go to Jan on line two. Jan, you're on with Chris and Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to add An Affair to Remember with Deborah Kerr and Cary Grant. It's a classic movie. It's been remade, I think, twice. And
never as good. Never as good, though.
Never?
No, what I mean is the remakes... I don't think are as good as the original.
Oh. Well, yes and no. There's some good in one of the remakes. I think it was called a beautiful mine. No, I can't remember the name of it.
That's okay.
But you're right.
Why do you like An Affair to Remember so much, Jan?
Oh gosh, I think it's my favorite of Cary Grant, which was one of my favorites way back when I was watching remakes with my parents, or old movies. And the last scene, and of course it just gripped you. It just kept you. It's for people who have a romantic streak in them, but it's Cary Grant.
I got
you. That's why I like it so much.
Well, there's another guy who just had such a presence on the screen. I mean, he just filled it up.
I love Cary Grant.
Yeah,
if you don't like Cary Grant, you're an unfeeling monster, is what I would say. So
you're right.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Jan, thanks for the great suggestion. So you're going to make me start singing the Vic Damone version. A love affair to remember. But we're going to ruin it by playing Vanilla Ice.
Well, yeah, or you could be singing this, yes.
Little Nat, the Nat remake. It's not as upright and cheesy
as
Vic.
But this guy never sang a bad song.
Nope.
Ever. Ever. It wasn't possible.
I'll think of one, but he only has one. I'll think about it. But I love Nat King Cole. He's one of my favorites. So Mark Van Buren, Chris DeSimone, Ed Alexander. We got four more to go. I do want to get to a couple of phone calls. Let's go to Gene real quick before we move on, because he wants to talk about the remake of Affair. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Really enjoy your show. It's great.
Thanks.
I wanted to call in about the Love Affair to Remember, because I, too, think Cary Grant is just super, and same with Deborah Carr, but that was a remake of the original, I think, called Love Affair with Charles Boyer and Irene Dunne.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
That was also an excellent movie, so I loved those, too.
Very excellent. Cool. Thank you for clarifying that. That's awesome. Thanks, Gene.
You're welcome. Enjoy your show.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good day.
You too.
Let's go down to the old Bisbee. Let's go hang out with Gary. Gary, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a movie from 1958, a B-movie called Machine Gun Kelly, which Charles Bronson made his debut.
Really?
And yes. And like Yul Brynner, he was Russian. His original name, Bukinsky. Until he was a teenager, he spoke Lithuanian.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought he was Lithuanian because I have some of that heritage in me, and I remember my uncle telling me that.
Yep. And I just discovered the movie about 8 months ago, and it's pretty good.
I will check it out. I will definitely check that out.
So it's Charles Bronson. Maury Amsterdam is in this movie.
Oh, love it. Yeah, from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh,
sure.
My Lord God.
That's right.
And it's actually directed and produced by Roger Corman.
Huh.
Interesting.
Wow. I'm definitely going to check that out. That's a great suggestion.
Look at you. Good job there, big guy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, you too, buddy. Gary from Bisbee with a great one. Let's go back to your list, sir.
1956, we've talked about this many times, so I'll just go through it pretty quickly. The Ten Commandments, one of those biblical epic films. Cecil B. DeMille's last movie. It was 219 minutes, and it basically covers the lifespan of Moses.
Who's in this movie?
Who's in this movie?
Moses.
Yeah, and we've talked about the most miscast person on the planet, Edward G. Robinson, as Dathan in this.
Yul Brynner's amazing.
Yul Brynner's is Ramses and is fantastic in it. Of course, Charlton Heston.
The lady who plays love
Baxter?
Interest. I mean, if there's a miscast for someone playing an Egyptian queen, it's Anne Baxter,
so.
But
probably
that's where we're at. So, and Heston. He's at his bloviating best as Moses.
Yes. So fantastic.
I love the movie. I like watching it.
I do too.
So what's your next one?
My next one, again, one of my top movies, and I think Brando's best movie, On the Waterfront. 1954, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone remembers the scene where he's in the cab with his brother, and he goes, "Charlie, you should have looked out for me. I could have been a contender. Instead, I'm a bum."
Absolutely.
You know, it was just a fantastic movie. Lee J. Cobb at his best here as well. And the last scene is very memorable where Lee J. Cobb was running the corrupt unions in New York on the longshoremen. And he's fighting with Marlon Brando, and it is just a very captivating scene.
I had a teacher in high school.
Yep.
Mr. Desmond, 10th grade, and this was part of our class, was critically watching On the Waterfront.
Oh.
And that's when I first really got hooked on this film.
It's just such a good film.
Great cast.
8 Oscars it won.
You know, yeah. Eva Marie Saint's great in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Carl Malden, who usually sucks and stuff.
Who's a priest in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah.
And you're right, Lee J. Cobb just chews it up.
Oh, just crazy.
Yep, and that's Kazan, right?
That's Kazan.
Very good.
That's Kazan.
We got a couple more movies, and we'll get to your phone calls at 790-2040. What else is your next
one? We got 12 Angry Men, another Lee J. Cobb movie.
Oh, you love this movie.
I absolutely love this movie, and think about how great...
Is this on your top 10 all-time?
Yes, and think about how the great casting of it. It's such a captivating movie. And it's done in one room. It's done in the juror's deliberation room. And you get to know you want to talk about character development. If somebody were to ask me, what's the best movie about character development? It's this one, because you know everything about every one of these guys who is on this jury. And it is just a powerful, powerful film. And I encourage you to see this. This is one of the best movies ever made.
I mean, one of those perfect, you know, starts off as a play, right? Because
right.
You can tell because it's all in one room.
Sure.
And then it goes on from there. But you're right. So this cast, right, of course, E.G. Marshall, Lee J. Cobb, of course, Henry Fonda, who's the...
Ed Begley Sr. is in this.
You are correct. Right, yeah. Ed Begley Sr. We have Jack Warden.
Right.
Right. And a very young Jack
Klugman. Yeah. It's a phenomenal movie. It really... And it gets you... You're interested in the entire way. It's just really good.
They should do it. This is the time and what's going on in the world that they should do a remake of this film in someone's really good hands. Don't know about that.
I don't know. Boy, I don't know if you could do as good a job. But anyway, we got to get to number one.
Yeah.
Bridge on the River Kwai. We've talked about this movie as well. 95% of Rotten Tomatoes, won 7 Oscars. And what can you say about this movie? Japanese concentration camp, mostly British in the camp. And they end up taking over building a bridge for the Japanese. And the acting in this is just absolutely phenomenal.
So again, this is another David Lean picture,
yep.
Right? David Lean did Lawrence of Arabia, right? He did Dr. Zhivago, and you know,
so
he takes Alec Guinness, who's one of my favorite guys of all time.
Is he good in this?
As the lead commander of the British troops.
But I say this every time we talk about it: the Seishu Hayakawa, who plays the Japanese
commandant, he's awesome in this
should have absolutely won Best Supporting Actor, and he lost the red buttons and some silly thing that the Academy must have been sleeping, because this was such a great performance. I mean, it really and truly.
Every
was.
Time him and Alec are on the screen together,
yeah. It's magic.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
It really is.
So great choices today.
Thank you.
Except for Lady in the Trap. All right, 7:56 in the morning. Let's go to Bob on line 3. Bob, you're on with Chris and Mark. Good morning.
Yeah, you guys forgot the one that got every teenager excited, and that was Theme from the Summer Place. Troy Donahue.
Yep.
That was hot. That was hot when you were a kid. They were running around the beach, yeah. Yep.
I know it's 1959. So what was it about what was it about the film that made it?
Troy Donahue and Sandy.
Hold on.
Sandy anyway, Davis. it was a love.
Sandra D.
Yeah. But every teenager with any red blood got excited about that one.
Look at that! It's getting a little steamy here.
Look at that!
In the Wake Up Tucson.
A little romance.
So, absolutely. Hey. Yeah. Bob, thanks for sharing that, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a great day.
790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Quinn on line 2. Quinn, you're on with Mark and Chris. What's up?
Yeah, I got two movies. Giant is, I think, in 54, and the other one is Take the High Ground, also in 54.
Okay. What's Take the High Ground about?
About the basic training in the Army right after the Korean War.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Nice.
Have to check that one out.
Like Top Gun, but the Enlistment was really great after this movie came out.
Awesome. Quinn, thanks for the suggestion. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Have a great day. All right, a couple of things on our Pine Top thing real quick. So listener John on Facebook definitely liked Darby's and your picnic basket place.
Yep, absolutely.
Or as Yogi would say, the picnic basket.
The picnic basket.
Then we have Lawrence, when we talk about Eddie's Country Store and the smoked meats in the back,
yep.
He loves that they do the smoked large turkey drumsticks.
Oh, yeah.
He says those are pretty awesome.
Those are good for
a
road trip.
Like I said, it can be a little pricey in there, but if you do a little bit of shopping,
a rack of ribs for nothing, because I just did this. It was $22.
Yeah, I'm for. Come on.
He's got you by the you know what's over there.
Yeah, well, there's not an awful lot of competition. You're competing with Walmart.
So Bev has a horse place up there. There's a Mexican place next to the hospital in kind of North Sherlo I've been to.
Yeah.
It's okay. And then she says, love Cattlemen's. They're consistently good. She disagrees with you.
Yeah. It's okay.
Cattlemen's.
That's what makes the world go round.
And then she said, Los Corrales is expensive and overrated. So thank you, Bev.
Wow.
Thank you for your service again today, sir.
It was fun again. Thank you.
Well, here we go. There we go. We got Drew Sexton. He is from the NRCC coming up top of the hour, and then Brendan Lyons running for state legislature at the bottom of the hour, and then Zach, and then Mr. Buckmaster. Wake up, 10:30 of the voice.